Well, we'll get started. We probably got a couple of weeks left in this book before we move on to our next one. We probably, it looks like I may just end up having to let's just teach out the Bible. The book is apparently that I want to use about laws that govern life is no longer in print. So we're trying to see if somebody else might have one. But so far we haven't had any success with that. Our quote for the week is, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be turned into a burden. It's in there. So we've been talking the last, Sam said for the last year, I don't really know how long we've been on this book.
What was that?
Bobby said, we've been doing this for the last year, but how to pray effective and know that we getting answers to our prayer and know how those answers come. Now we're going to talk about a subject this morning that's probably going to get on all of us. So we're all going to get our toes stepped on this morning. We talk about the hindrances to prayer. And the last section is unforgiveness and strife. Now this is one of the smoothest tricks of the devil. We're going to go to Mark 11 and then Matthew 18 if you want to be looking at that while I'm talking here. But this is one of the most, the smoothest things and the easiest trap for us to fall into. Because we think that we have a right to be put out, to be aggravated, to be offended. We feel like we have a right, but as a Christian, we don't have that right. And unforgiveness is one of the tactics that the devil uses, and lots of times we don't even realize that we're there. We're going to talk about unforgiveness and then another thing called strife, which is two different things. And we talked about it the other week. We have to be careful because things that aggravate us are the things that cause strife and let us get into unforgiveness. You know, me and Miss Amy, we kind of fall into this thing a lot about getting mad quick about people and things like, you know, driving slow in the fast lane. You know, I still don't understand when you get to the cash register why you can't have your money ready. Once she got to check you out, then you got to dig through your 5-gallon purse to get your money while they in the line, you know. Then you got to put it back in order. Get your money, get out of the way, let some, you know. So and we all fall into those kind.
You go up to a fast food and it's your time to order and you're still trying to figure out. You're going to be standing back there 10 minutes talking on your phone and figuring out what
you want. I'm like, you go to KFC, people like looking, I'm like, it's chicken. It's not this hard. It's chicken. There's nothing else there but chicken.
Order
some chicken.
For me, it's not even the menu. It's getting over the prices, trying to figure out my budget.
We're in a bad place when a family of four takes $70 to eat at McDonald's. Yeah.
Yeah, don't try that at KFC. Yeah. You'll be sitting there,
it ain't that hard. You're going to get them nuggets, or you're going to get them with the bone in. Which one do you want? And how much of it do you want? So anyway, I try really hard because I've understood some of these things. I try really hard. It doesn't mean I fall way more than I succeed. I'm not going to lie, you know, because I'm easily aggravated. I'm very impatient kind of person. You know, going to the doctor's office. That's another. Why can't the doctor be on time? I don't get that.
Don't get me started.
That's like a couple weeks ago.
And I have a life.
Yeah.
Well,
no, you
like
don't if you go to the doctor.
My mama, she had a doctor's appointment. And she was like 5 or 6 minutes late. And they told her that she had to reschedule because she was late 5 or 6 minutes. And it was throwing everything out. So she rescheduled, and then when she went back on the date, she sat in the doctor's office, or actually sat in the room almost 2 hours before the doctor ever come in there to see him. And he was like, you know.
I'm supposed to give you 15 minutes.
I went to the doctor the other week. What did he say? I went to the doctor the other week. So they took me back pretty much on time. And you know what they do? You know, they do your blood pressure. You know, they take you out, do all that stuff. So the nurse got through. She turned, she said, if you got an errand or something you want to run, you Westman, go ahead and do it and come back. The doctor ain't going to be here till 9:30. And I've had an 8:30 appointment.
Oh, my God.
I said, well, what if I just leave? I said, I didn't got time to wait on the doctor. You know, you could have called and said, hey, we're not doing, you know. Whatever. So anyway, did y'all know what I'm saying? So, but we have to guard against this because being offended, causes us to walk in unforgiveness. And that's why the Bible tells us that we have to judge ourselves every day. Every day we have to judge ourselves and keep this stuff cleaned up and cleaned out. Because as a Christian, it don't matter what they say, how they treat you, what they do to you, our job is we cannot get offended. We cannot let people make us. If we do, it knocks us off our game. It gets us out of faith, and we don't even realize it if we don't clean that up and get that, and get forgiveness. Because the Bible says, you know, that, and it's another thing too. Lots of times we think that we're in faith, and then we don't realize that our faith is inactive because of unforgiveness, and then we don't get the result that we wanted because we have all this unforgiveness. We're going to see this in the Bible. He makes it plain. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, nothing in this spiritual realm and in the walk of Christianity is going to work. And it's hard because we have to decide, do I want my prayer answered more than I want to hold a grudge against this person? That's the decision that we don't make, most times don't realize we're making, but that's what we're saying. I'd rather be aggravated at Angie all night than I had my prayer be answered, because it makes me feel better to be aggravated. I feel like I've done something when really we've hurt ourselves more than we've helped ourselves. So we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about, because those are minor things. And there's people, though, that have had really bad things done to them that is very hard to get over. And we're going to talk about that some, about how to forgive by faith. We have to start that type of forgiveness by faith and let God help us with it. Because when you get into a lot of those abuse things and other things, it's not as easy as somebody being slow in the line to deal with. All right, so we're on what page me and Bobby again?
89.
And we're gonna go ahead and read Mark 11:25 first. Let me get back over there. Then we're going to look at a parable that Jesus taught. So see, we know the 22 through 24, you know, is the prerequisite of what faith is, how faith operates, what our job is when we pray, etc. In verse 25, he goes on to say, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So we see right there, the first prerequisite to faith is, if we don't forgive, then we're not forgiven. And that's why you don't see it here in Mark, but in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 18, Jesus follows this up with a parable. And I want to read this parable, and then we'll talk about this.
Is it Matthew 18?
Matthew 18. We're going to start in verse 21. Matthew 18, 21. Everybody there? All right. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall thy brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And now Jesus is going to give them a parable here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven, or God's way of doing, like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. Or in today's money, that's $260 million. The purpose of this parable, he's talking about God forgiving us versus us forgiving other people. So we owe a debt that we can't pay. And Jesus paid that unpayable debt. And that's what this is referring to. It says a debt so big this guy couldn't pay it. Verse 25. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence or $500. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Let's read this, finish through verse 45, and we'll come back to that. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked or twisted thinking servant, I forgave thee all thy debt because thou desirest me. Should thou not also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now that's a hard passage. What he's saying is, we expect God's forgiveness and grace to us, but we don't pass that same grace and forgiveness down to other people. We let them be offended by them, and then, you know, and we hold that grudge. We don't want, you know, but yet we expect God to do on our behalf. And we always expect God to do his best for us, but we very rarely want to do our best for God. It seems like doing our best for God gets in the way, you know. So that's what he says. So we have to examine these things every day. That's what, and we'll see this in Luke in a little while, you know, about judging yourself every day, every day, every day. You know, what did I do? How did I act? And ask forgiveness. And when possible, and if necessary, you know, a lot of times we got great people and they don't know it, you know, but when things are said and things are done, we have to go back and clean that up and go to those people and, you know, apologize or whatever it takes, you know. And that's a thing I made myself start doing, and you'll be surprised how much it'll keep you from doing some of these things when you got to, you know, when you got to go back and face them, you know, cause I made this to, this is how I make myself act. If I offend you or say something bad to you in public, then I won't allow myself to drag you off to the side and hide it and talk to you. I make myself apologize in front of everybody. That's, you know, and that puts a lot of restraint, you know, when you have to apologize in front of everybody and say, we don't like to say we're wrong, even if we know we're wrong. When nobody wants to say they're wrong. So anyway, that's kind of how the constraints I've put on myself. Is when I mess it up, you know, apologize. But if what the environment was that I made the mess, I try to fix it. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to talk to people later because it's people have moved on, things are different and all. But we have to examine our lives every day. So it says here, after that verse in Mark 11:25, this is vital. Prayer will not work without forgiveness. I cannot overemphasize its importance. Jesus prayed, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we have to make that choice every day. Spiritual principles are involved here. You can keep these hindrances. You can keep these hindrances from stopping the results of your prayers. Harmony always makes prayer work, prayer system work. All right. Skip down a couple of paragraphs. Then we're going to get into the lesson here. It says, as you come against unforgiveness. It says, as you come against unforgiveness and reach for harmony, you will experience Jesus in your mind, in your midst. He said, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Go to Luke chapter 6. And Luke chapter 6 is a lot about sowing and reaping.
Now this forgiveness thing, and I know many people probably take that out of context. That's not a license for us to be have to be taken advantage of either.
That's very true. That's true. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I'm saying either, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can defend yourself without being offended. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Chad can disagree, but I don't have to be mad at him because we disagree. Mm-hmm. You know, because when I get mad, then I say more than the disagreement. My goal when I get offended is to incur some kind of hurt or damage on him. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? That's what I said, and that's the reason, because we know that those are works of the devil. So my intent is to hurt him to win the argument. See, then I've gone too far. But for me to defend myself in open dialogue, there's nothing wrong with that. But I can't take it personal. See, even though he might say all those derogatory things to me. Sorry, go ahead.
In my experience, Holy Spirit lets you know if you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In being thinking you're being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit won't let you be without going back to that person saying, "Hey, I'm sorry."
You're exactly right. You when I do it, I feel it right here. I know instant, just like that, when I've done it. I feel it right here. You feel that, I call it an emptiness, but that might not be what it was, but you feel that difference right here, and you know you...
First thing you think is, I shouldn't have said that.
I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm. But it is hard because we haven't trained ourselves, and I'm talking to myself too here this morning, but that's when we should stop right then and fix it right that second, see, and get it behind us, but most of the time, because of the heat of the moment, we don't think like that, and we don't stop at that. At that point,
you know, worldly people use that against Christians as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Whenever it comes down to, you know, even, you know, just for, you know, sake of time and not having to go through different scenarios and trying to figure it out, bad business deals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can forgive somebody for a bad business deal and then not do business with them.
That's
you
right.
know, just kind of separate your ways, and then they, you know, they want you to come back for another business deal.
Yeah.
You know, you can forgive me for not doing that right. I can forgive you for it, but that doesn't make me stupid the second time.
That's right. That's right.
I think some of the hardest one is when it's family involved.
Yeah. That's right.
It's mm-hmm. really hard because, you know, you're supposed to be close. And this past week I had an incident. It's crazy that we're talking about this, that someone called me.
The Lord's on your case every Sunday morning, Lenny.
The last problem was you've been right on it. Emily had a conversation, and it just seemed like she was attacking someone else, and I got a little hasty, and when I got off the phone, I called Frank, and I'm like, please calm me down. You know, I know I probably went at this a little stronger because I'm a very blunt person and straight to the point, so it come off really strong, and she didn't talk to me for a couple of days, and then she sent me a text message, and I'm like, look, we really need to talk. So I was like, look, I'd been hurting for a couple of days. I'd been really stressed and overwhelmed at mm-hmm. home. And then you called me and it was all of this. So you put your problems in my wagon and my wagon was already full.
Mm-hmm.
So it come off, okay, this is what you needed to do to unfill your wagon.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
and we have to take responsibility. We have to take responsibility, realize we're wrong and correct it best
I mean,
we can.
It's better now. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But if you ever notice though, when people are wrong about an issue or a thing, that makes them even more angry when they realize that they're wrong. They even come out harder.
Yeah.
You know, but we have to realize that's flesh, that's part of this devilish spirit we have that we're born in. You know, it just like we said before, you know, the only reason we talk about people is to change somebody's opinion about them, to lower their esteem. You know, that's the only reason that, you know, if I tell Terrell something about Chad, more times than not, it's not to uplift Chad, it's to try to change Terrell's opinion of Chad so Terrell's opinion matches my opinion of Chad.
Very rarely do we go and say, geez, I bet Todd Reinhardt's such a good guy. Don't you just love him?
I have to say this to Todd's defense. I heard that three times this week, Todd.
Huh?
I heard that three times about, hey, he's just a good guy.
Normally, it's, you know, we just are getting on somebody's bandwagon of what they say.
That's right.
And move on.
Yeah. And you're right. But when you said it, it made me think, I heard that three times. A good thing about Todd this week. So anyway, that we, like you said, we have to be able to stand up for ourselves, but we have to control ourselves, because the whole Christian walk is about learning to control emotion. There's this worldly environment. It that's how it operates. It operates off emotion, right? And a Christian, we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we hear. We move by only by what we believe. See, and when we let that only move us, it takes all those other emotions. I don't have to get caught up in all that emotion because God's already got me. God's already said I'm going to come out ahead. And back to Bobby's point, this is something that we as Christians don't realize, and we might not get into it today. I'll try to be sure we get back to it next week. We in covenant with God, okay? That's why He tells us not to defend our reputation. You know, people say that, you know, don't try to stand up and defend yourself in these kind of things. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. See, now, what happens when I choose not to be offended and I choose to walk in love, then God automatically has to invoke His part of the covenant, which is, that's what happened to Pharaoh. God gave Pharaoh many, many opportunities not to. But because the children of, they went 400 years and didn't cry out on a covenant. Then they cried out on a covenant, so God had to deliver them and make them free people, see? And that's all that was about, was God getting on that side of the covenant, vengeance. Hey, Pharaoh, you got to let my people go. It's their covenant right. You don't have a choice. And the longer you keep being bullheaded, the harder this thing's going to get on you. See, if he'd let them go the first time, Egypt would still be prosperous and been a good country. See? Well, go ahead, man.
A lot of times I'll take a look back at Nero,
mm-hmm.
when he was killing all the Christians.
Right.
You know, and I've read where documents and scriptures and things where it talked about where Nero was killing the Christians and they would willingly go and lay their head down to have it be chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how much that they would, you know, forgive.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy concept to think about. That, you know, if someone was put a gun to your spouse's head or your child's head, could you forgive that person?
That's right. And like I said before, you know, there's some hard things we were talking about forgiving by faith. There's some hard things being done to people that it ain't as easy as what we're talking about this morning to walk away from. But the finished thing about the vengeance, that's why God says, pray for those that despitefully use you in person. Pray for God to have mercy, because He has to enact on your behalf. You know, if somebody's impressing you on your job or any kind of oppression, you have to cry out to God. You have a covenant right, and He will intervene. But then your other responsibility is to pray for mercy. That person will come to their senses before God has to take it all the way out on your behalf. See, He'll take it as far as He has to go, because He's coveted to protect you. He's coveted that you're His child, that nothing can harm you as long as you can stay in the love walk and stay out of the fence. Let Him handle, because His judgment will always be just. Ours won't be, but His will always be just. He will give them to the umpteenth opportunity to repent before everything goes down. Well, we don't. We want to kill them now. We don't want to have to repent. You know, we want to do it now. You know, so we have to realize that's the purpose. God says, you can do this and rest assured that this person will not walk free. That vengeance is mine. I know how to take care of it. I will take care of it. I will handle it on your behalf. But you stay out of it. Let me do what I do. See, because He wants them to come to Him. That's the whole purpose. He don't want to send anybody to hell. You know, we think for some reason that God gets enjoyment out of people going to hell. He does not. He died so they don't have to. See? And so His ultimate goal is to try to rescue that person from what they're doing, what they're saying, how they're acting, and get them where they're supposed to be and make them a benefit to the kingdom. And then that's a mouthful for us.
And forgiveness is not getting out of consequences either.
A lady talked to me this week. I was just minding my own business, and not a Christian lady, but because of, I don't know if I'm overstating this. I don't know what this Charlie Kirk phenomenon is going to end up being, okay? There's something going on here. This is not a Christian lady, but she had been reading the Bible. She says, I started reading my Bible. Her question to me was, what does the Bible say about killing somebody? You know, the Bible is clear about the death penalty. The Bible's all about the death penalty. You know that's what the law was established for. You know, and if you steal something, the Jewish law, you have to pay it back 7 times. Well, those kind of harsh consequences is what keeps people from doing it, right? You know, if you borrow something from somebody and you break it, you're required to give them a new one back, not one in the same condition, a brand new one. See, those kind of laws that are harsh punishment curbs the behavior. See, and that's why the law is so hard. But she said, she knew enough to know that she said, since Jesus came, what about forgiveness? And the same thing what Bobby said. You know, people get forgiveness, you know, but that don't stop the consequences of the law. You know, if I kill somebody, God will forgive me. I can get forgiveness, but I still got to pay the penalty. It don't get me out of the penalty just because I, you know, and that's why, you know, you hear it all the time from the COs at the prison, you know, oh, that's just jailhouse Christianity, trying to play the system, you know, and I'm never the judge of that. I let God handle all that, you know, that he knows if they play and if they serious or whatever. But it just because you know it doesn't stop the consequences. You still have to pay the price to society for whatever it is you've done. No. It's not a get out of jail free card. Well, anybody else before we move on?
Like the saying goes, forgiveness is for us.
That's exactly right.
For your own peace.
You know, and for me, when I get really aggravated. That's why I keep my little old book close by me all the time I keep my reminders in that little book. And like I said earlier, you know, I want to be mad. Probably may have a right to be mad. It's easy to be mad, but I got all this stuff that I'm asking the Lord to help me with. That I have a choice. Do I want these things in my body corrected? Do I want these things in my family corrected? Or is it better for me to be mad at this person so I feel better emotionally? See, I feel like I've hurt them and now I'm even with them. Which one is more important to me? See, which one had I rather have? See, I'm going to have to make a choice to hold on to one another. Because if I hold on to my animosity, see, then this other's not going to happen. I have to let that go to get this. And I don't think we understand that gravity, and we're going to see it more times than once. The Bible is plain. If we're in unforgiveness, nothing's happening. Then we wonder why our prayers are hindered, why they don't get answered, why we fall into some of this misfortune. Because we're going to see in a minute, when you get into strife, you open yourself up for every evil work to happen to you. See? So, and that's why the Bible is so strong on this stuff. And I think the Bible's strong on it because he realizes it's the hardest thing for us to do is to let it go. You know, I'm not the type that can, if something I feel like needs to be said, you know, I'll bust. I just got to say it, you know, but that was not a good philosophy for life. All right. Let's read this next paragraph and then we'll talk about, forgiveness by faith. Says you cannot say that you please God and hold something against someone. This includes your family members as well. I think your name's wrote in this book.
Somewhere.
If a man say,
everybody,
that's what I'm saying. It's going to be hard today. And remember, I didn't have to study this all week, so I've been on this all week.
I leave with my mama. That's enough.
It says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know, and you realize we've wronged God way more than that person has wronged us in anything. But now, remember, anything in the kingdom of God is by faith. If it's not by faith, then we can't get it out of the kingdom. Okay? God never tells us to do something that we don't have the capacity to do. Okay? No matter what it is. We're talking about forgiveness right here. So whatever has been done to me, there is a way in God for me to get to forgiveness. No matter what it was, how bad it was, there is a way for me to get there, because it would be unjust for God to tell me to forgive them if I can't, and because I can't, he won't answer my prayers. That would be unjust, see? So there has to be a way to get there. But forgiving somebody by faith is the same as learning how to be healed by faith. The first time when you say, by his stripes I'm healed, I thank you, Lord, I'm healed, you're probably in no better physical condition after you said those few words than before you said those few words, right? But faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. But the more you confess that, the more faith develops for that healing. It's the same thing with faith, with unforgiveness. When I say I forgive them, that doesn't mean when I think about them, I'm still not going to have those feelings in the beginning of hatred or whatever the level is that the thing has got to. It doesn't mean I'm still not going to have those feelings. But when I have those feelings, I have to get back on my faith and say, no, Lord, I won't think that. I have forgiven them. Thank you, Lord. I forgive it. See, and begin to build our faith. You forgive them, and that forgiveness develops inside of you little by little, bit by bit. But you don't entertain those thoughts. You don't entertain what happened and how it happened. You put all that in the past and you don't think about that. You don't, because the devil won't, as soon as you try to say, I forgive that person, what they did is what's the first thing that flashes in your mind, see? Mm-hmm. It comes right back to you. Why? To get you off of that. See, if the devil can keep you in that, then he can harness your potential to live the life like you want to live, see? In there. So we have to do it by faith. And sometimes, like I said, depending on degree, it's little by little by little. But forgiveness will, you forgive them by faith. So in the spirit, God credits you to have already forgiven them. Okay. Just like when you say, you know, Father, I thank you, I am healed. He credits that to you in the spirit realm right then. In the spirit realm, you are classified as healed, even though it hasn't manifested itself in the physical yet. See, the same thing with unforgiveness. He declares you unforgiven. Your prayers can be answered, right? Now we have to walk that out till it flushes out of our soul, our mind, will, and our emotions. But that's where it's hung up at. It's hung up in our mind, our will, and our emotions. When we think about it, it projects those emotions. See, that's the part that has to be cleaned out. That takes time. See, that makes sense. Go ahead, Brian.
I think we have to forgive ourselves for a lot of things too.
That's right.
You know, when I've said some, done some awful things to a lot of people in my life. You know, and it's like that weighs on you as you start learning, hey, about forgiveness. It's like, you know, how could I ever forgive myself for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
And I know
maybe many of y'all haven't, but I've told the story before, but I used to occasionally get on these guilt trips, you know, feel bad. I hurt a lot of people, wrecked a lot of lives, and it would weigh on me. And I sat down in the recliner one day, I'll never forget, and I felt it coming. And then all of a sudden I heard this inside. That man's dead. That man that did all that is dead. He don't exist no more, see? And that really helped me, because my mind, will, and my emotions, my soul is what keeps bringing that up. God forgot it. When I asked forgiveness, God forgot it, see? I'm the one that keeps reminding myself and allowing that feeling, those emotions, to come on. Because, when you do certain things, and then when you realize it's better, you realize better than that, and those people are no longer alive, you know, it weighs on you. Where did my actions put them? You know, and those kind of things. And so we have to I said, realize where this is coming from. Realize that who did those things is gone, you know, and all. And we have to realize, I don't like to magnify sin.
Would you say, though, that the longer you let unforgiveness sit, the harder it is to get rid of?
Oh, yeah, I think it festers.
Absolutely.
I think it festers. It makes people... You have a lot of bitter people in the world for that one reason, mm-hmm. that they won't let go, and it just
a lot of it dates back to generational curses too, because mm-hmm. you got, when you have family members that have had all these things, then they talk to you about them, so you've got theirs on top of yours, and in my past experience, it just gets to the point where you get numb and you suppress.
Mm-hmm.
And then this next thing happens, which brings up this 50 other things that were little minute things. And now you have this one big thing and you're trying, one, to figure out how to forgive yourself, and then how to forgive the person that just put another scar on you.
Yeah, that's right.
And it cuts deep, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's really hard to go, yes, I forgive you. It's really easy to say.
It's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when, you know, if you see the person and you're like, yep, I just, no, I might have did then, no, can't do that.
But look at it from God's perspective. When we forgive that person, because we're talking about this is in our soul realm. When we forgive that person, remember, God gets amnesia then.
Mm-hmm.
He no longer remembers it or no longer sees it until we keep bringing it up. We got to learn to quit bringing it up. Why we won't remind him of something that he don't remember? It's the same thing with our past sins. Why we won't remind him something that he don't remember? He said, when you ask forgiveness, I forgot it. Right? I separated myself as far as the east is from the west from it. See? So that's, but our own problem is we keep our soulless realm. We have to learn to clean that up and get it cleaned out and don't allow ourselves to think on that anymore. Once we ask forgiveness, or once we repent of whatever we do, then we don't allow ourselves to go back down that road, because your memory will constantly take you back and replay it and replay it and replay it. See, but and it's in our soul, those emotions. We have to learn to clean that out and put something else in its place. All right. So let's get started on stride. What we got? About 3 minutes. Go to James 3:16. We'll read this. What you laughing at back there?
You don't want to know.
I gotta find James first. It's right there around Peter. Stuck in Peter somewhere there. James 3:16. And we'll just touch on this and we'll pick it up here next week. But if we want to really get to 2 Timothy is where James 3:16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So we see here, when we're in unforgiveness and strife, that then that opens the door for every evil work. But notice the word confusion. The word confusion means what? I'm not thinking properly, right? So that goes right along when I get mad or I get aggravated, I'm not what? I'm not thinking properly, see? That opens the door for every evil work when I'm not thinking properly. Because if I wasn't aggravated, I wasn't mad, then I wouldn't say or do what I'm fixing to say or do, right? It's that confused state, see, that we're in here. It says, for where strife, envy and strife, there is confusion, every evil work. When you take confusion and add it to Satan's work, problems arise. You will have a disaster in the making. Jesus is not in the midst of that. Determine that you're not going to respond to strife. The next time someone says something rude or unmannerly to you or about you, make a decision not to join in. Don't carry strife any further. Let's get our scripture in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. I'm going to read this in the King James. Anybody got an NLT? No, I get it on my phone. Chris, you got an NLT?
I got
mine. Oh, you got one? Okay, okay. All right. Let me read this in the King James first. It says, and the servant of 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That's a commandment. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those oppose themselves. If God preaventure will give them repentance to acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So we see here that because of strife, we're taken at his will. I read that in the NLT.
A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gentle instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth.
Through 26, yeah.
Okay. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants.
I'm in the whole wrong book. Hold a second, let me catch up here. I'm in James here for some reason. All right, so it says the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be kind to everyone. Right, but what I want to focus on next week is verse 26. That they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they've been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. So when we get in strife and we start acting out, then we are instruments of Satan. We'll get into that next week. Thank y'all for coming out. Y'all have a good week.